And today was approved in committee in June as for the approval of the 2024-25 internal audit work plan. Our internal auditor, Bruce Wiseman, is here if anybody has any questions or comments. Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the 2024-25 internal audit work plan.
So moved. Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Then I'll call on Susan Howarth and Ryan Russell for somewhat of a marathon session here on item 236. The first request is to seek approval to increase the asset preservation scope of work from $30 million to $75 million. This project will preserve, renovate, and modernize Henry Hardin Cherry Hall.
Good morning. We're going to talk today first about asset preservation discussion to the board, if that's okay. And I want to tell you a little bit about the process and how we, the General Assembly, over the last two biennials, has provided the university with a total with our matching funds of about $135 million. And that's critical to the university. It's allowing us to identify projects all over campus and make significant repairs. What's important is the first biennium, they provided us with a total of $68 million. And then the university had a match requirement of $10,212,000. The second biennium, which totals $57 million, what's really great for us is that it does not have a match component, so it really helpful to the university. And they also put in that guidelines and statute that we could also address some of the student, pedestrian, parking areas on campus. So we have added into our request some work to be done on three different parking structures on campus. So thank you, General Assembly, and the work that just totally needed on our campus in deferred maintenance and capital removal. Cherry Hall asset preservation. Well, when we received the first funding required, the asset pool, we were required as a university to supply a list of projects immediately, which totaled over $80 million. But one of them that we earmarked was our historic Cherry Hall. Cherry Hall was built back in 1937. It's 105,000 square feet. We really have probably every student that comes to our campus goes through Cherry Hall. It is aging on the inside, the infrastructure, the mechanical, electrical, plumbing, the things that you all don't see, we have to keep up, and it is past its useful life. It needs to be replaced. Leadership recognized that. They said, we're going to let you earmark $30 million to do that next. One of the things and the goals of the university is, one, it's an iconic structure. That's the beautiful facade. We also have some historic elements within the building. But we also have a great desire to modernize this building for teaching. And that is really important. ADA accessibility, the restrooms. If you've not been in there in a long time, it's even hard to find a restroom in that building. They're kind of tucked away in and out. So those things are part of the scope of work that we'll work on. So what we're really asking is that we did an assessment. We had a professional team come in. They gave us a report. It was 80-some pages. And our funding of $30 million was inadequate to do the scope changes that we desire to do in Cherry Hall. So we would like to increase that amount using both source of asset pool funds up to $75 million. We have actually, as a university, hired a firm, Gensler, to start the work. And if you went up there today, they're doing a pressure test of the building, and they're going in every single space with high technology that puts lasers in a room and physically measures from the started in the cupola, and they're physically measuring what's inside the building is available space, which will all be weaved together netted together, become an AutoCAD type drawing that they'll start from. So they have not wasted any time to get in our facility to do that important work. With that,
as a reminder to the board, Gensler was our design partner for the Commons project. And so the way I like to describe Cherry Hall project is that we will do the same for Cherry Hall that we did for the Commons, to completely reimagine it, to keep the historical pieces intact. So the marble stairs will not be going away. I like my job and want to keep my job. But everything else is fair game. And so we're going to ensure that Cherry Hall serves our community for another 87 or 100 years.
Questions? Comments? Anyone?
So when would the work start on this?
The design work started today. So it'll take approximately a year to get that done. But we really can't start any construction activities in the building until next fall. We relocate the occupants to another location, but we have to get the business school moved into the new business college directly behind us. So that's really the kind of the stair step. So we've got to get that plan where they go, which a lot of them probably, I'm just going to make an assumption, price. And once that happens, then we'll start to be able to do individual work on getting the building started.
Any other questions? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve to preserve, renovate, and modernize Henry Hart and Cherry Hall funding authorization from $30 million to $75 million using both the asset preservation sources enacted by the budgets of the Commonwealth, 22 RS HB1 and 24 RS HB6.
So moved.
Motion by Regent Dennison.
Second.
Second by Regent Nichols. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. The second part has to do with asset preservation funds of projects that exceed $1 million. Equipment that would be more than $200,000. It's part of the guidelines. It's a statutory requirement in two phases. One, it has to do with any project that's over $1 million, we have to have board approval before we can submit to CPE to ensure eligibility of reimbursement. So that's one step. And then the other part is capital projects and bond oversight committee. We have a statute. Any project that exceeds $1 million or equipment has to be approved by the board to be initiated in the process. It's a guideline. So with that, we have a list of projects that we would like to submit to the board. Totals about $27.5 million of the total. But they're critical projects that we either had started on or in process or got design work going or have had studies completed. So I could go over each one or we can talk about any one specifically. I'd be happy to do any or how would you like that done? I'll pick a couple. I'll just do the highlights here. On this right here, what's really important is, I guess, the Glasgow building, our regional campus. That building's about 22 years old. We've had that evaluated. They have some significant needs in the indoor air quality, HVAC systems. Those systems they're failing. They're having to replace those. They do not have the resources to get that building ready for the next 20 years. So we have a submission here up to $2.5 million. We've listed individually the types of projects that we'll be working on, and those are all infrastructure-based type programs. I think it's really important for the institution and the students that go through that building.
I would comment on that too, in that if we go back to the Knowledge Town book and what was described in that, how important what we're doing in South Central Kentucky and with our regional campuses, for only 48% of eligible students going to college, who there's a tremendous potential there, which we're reinvigorating with the program that was unveiled last year with high school students. So I think certainly, not just because I'm from Glasgow, but I think as we look at our region, these types of efforts are going to pay big dividends down the road and are important as part of our mission.
And one that I wanted to mention specifically is, because it's in this building and it's for our students, is the renovation of the Jogi Richards Hall. Jeffy and the director or AVP for IT has been talking about this for several years. So, Brian, if you just wanted to quickly run through that one.
Yeah, the scope of work here has actually been designed. It's been what I call value engineered. It's been bid competitively, and we're right on the $2 million mark. To be available for total reimbursement, I need to ask for a little flexibility from the board. And all of these amounts that we're requesting is an up to. This is a procedural request up to amount. I have a feeling that this project will come in right at the $2,000,001. But if I don't have your authority, I can't submit it for reimbursement. So that's why I ask for these type of things. We're excited to get this work done. They're ready to start work, and as soon as I get your approval, they'll probably get started. So we're excited about kicking this one off before or during the semester.
So if you recall, there was a computer lab down on the ground floor of Jogi Richards. It was a computer lab that felt like it was about 30 years old, because it was about 30 years old. Just as we've done with the Commons, we're going to create a space that is much more appropriate for the students of today, meaning how they work, the collaborative nature, and more of a lounge slash computer space than terminals along the line of a big table, which is what they were before, or clusters.
Since so many of these projects are to protect the plant, and the plant to us is a building, it's a facility, you'll see various roof projects, and some of the guidelines and requirements is almost all of this work has to be done on what we call E and G buildings, the classroom building, the academic buildings. It's not allowed to be utilized on auxiliary spaces or athletic projects. Thankfully, we were able to submit the Diddle Arena roof. The board previously had approved up to $7 million. We bid that project. It came in. We're almost complete with the dome renovation and restoration, which it all comes in around $4 million. So we didn't exceed that authorization. But we have another project that's listed. Not sure it's on this list, but it's the next one. For the annex section of $1 million. We're putting this on there for transparency, and that will totally have re-roofed the entire building that I believe was built originally in 1963, and then we did a renovation of the building where what you see today was a 2003 period time frame. But the roof has been replaced. I think it had two layers on it in its history, so it was in desperate need to be replaced. And there was a few events where we had rain dripping through the onto the audience, so we it was time. And part of that, and I'll just remind the board, was during our tornado, and it really took all the Boral and rolled it up. So insurance provided a little over $1 million in compensation for that event as some of the damage. So that helped us with our matching funds, which is something the university did not have to basically come out of our assets. So really good. You'll see down on the bottom I have all three mentioned parking 1, 2, and 3. THP out of Cincinnati has done a study for us and has given us a 5-year plan of restoration. Most of the work will be done in parking structure 1, which is our oldest, but we continue to do repairs of these buildings using critical needs funds as needed to make them safe. and extend the useful life, and it's really critical that we do that so we don't have to build new parking structures in the future. So I think another academic building is College High Hall. We renovated that some years ago, but it had what they call unit ventilators that are in the classrooms. It's probably where we get our most complaints for a teaching area. I think mostly mathematics, and it is noisy. So we would like authorization. We've actually started the study, and we're looking into what we can do for that facility to basically put a central air conditioning type system in so that the rooms where we teach our students are no longer noisy. We've tried many things to fix those problems, to reduce the noise, but unit ventilators historically, it's more like an air conditioning system that's in a hotel, are just not adequate for a teaching space.
So I, let me comment, number one, to thank the General Assembly for this investment. Crucial dollars that we otherwise would not be able to make these both investments and renovations. So the, number one, thank you for them. They understand, and there have been multiple studies about the huge backlog of deferred maintenance on our campuses. Number two, when you think about, for those of you who have read the campus master plan, there is a building usage study, and it, additionally, there is a quality of experience that walked alongside that. And so the three lowest performing buildings with the highest traffic rate were Cherry Hall, Academic Complex was number two, and then the worst was Grice Hall. Yeah. But if you think about what we've managed to do because of the largesse of our legislators, and we spent a lot of time working this issue, in the next 5 years, we will have fixed, essentially, Grice Hall, Academic Complex, and Cherry Hall, and addressing those major needs in the campus master plan.
So with that,
okay, any questions, comments? The total of these projects will be up to $27.4 million. If there are no questions, I don't want to rush this, but I'll entertain a motion that the board approve the asset preservation capital projects as listed.
So moved.
Motion by Regent Dennison, second by Regent Thomas. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Our next project here that we're going to talk about is our approval of our press box and field house increase. On the left, we have a rendering that was done by HSK Architects and K. Norman Berry. We were given access to start a project back in about November to start the construction. On the right is a picture of a few days ago of the press box that's strategically located over the Harbaugh Club that looks seamless, like it's always been there. I actually walked through the building a couple of days ago, and I think everyone that gets an opportunity to go through that will be very impressed with, one, the accomplishment of where we started to get it finished, and how important it is to the athletic program and Western, and the national visibility that is going to be the exposure we see on television for our athletes and for the institution. So I'm really pleased with how this progress is taking place. We have basically a total investment of about $9 million of the authority here that's invested into the press box. Underneath is the Jack and Jackie Harbaugh Club, and that's a critical to the operational side of athletics and HAF. And on the left is the rendering of what is going to be transformed to, and on the right is a few weeks ago when we took a picture, and they'll be open and operational before the September 7th ball game. So that's exciting, and it's really quite a transformation. Now we're looking at the Hilltopper Field House project. On the left is the rendering of what it's going to be. You see on the right is the actually construction site, which is the old practice football field. It was also the home to the Paul Orbison Baseball Clubhouse, and the batting facility that has was there. Those things are now gone. We are working on putting in the footers and foundations for this new facility, which is a 120,000 square foot facility. And it's also going to be the new home for the WKU Forensics. It's also going to be the new home for the esports programs. It's going to be the home where the Big Red Band gets to practice, the largest band, marching band in the state of Kentucky. And so they've not had a home. We've kind of moved them around for many years to different locations, from South Campus to South Lawn to sometimes have to go practice over at the track facility across the way. So they're going to have a place where they'll call home. Also inside the facility, we'll have a place for the new baseball program and hitting facility, all in this new facility, and with a completion date of fall of 2025. Using the construction management process, it allows the university to put out bid packages in as needed for long lead items. And the longest lead item for this building is the pre-engineered metal building, which has been ordered for quite some time. We've just received all the other bid packages in a few weeks ago. We have plugged that into the budget. And with that, we need to, the construction costs of this facility are exceeding our authorization. And our authorization I'm talking about is the capital projects and bond oversight. We have $50 million authorized to construct this facility and the press box. And so with that, my request is, or our request is, to increase our authorization by $10 million, which will make it $60 million. The actual cost that I have in our estimate with firm cost is probably more like $57 million. But as we seek this authorization and this bond, agency bond authorization, we're asking for the flexibility so that we don't have to come back. It won't be more.
Brian, do you want to go over some of the significant factors in the cost increases?
I'll be happy to. The cost increases across, and this is really interesting, since 2020, the construction industry has experienced significant cost increases. And from 20 to 21, construction costs have seen a 17.5 year-over-year increase, marking the largest spike in this data since 1970. In 22, the construction cost index forecasted a 14.1% year-over-year increase in construction costs. Material price increases since 2020, building materials price has risen 33%. Service price increases, services used in construction, such as trade services, transportation, warehousing, has been 18.5% since 2021 and 39% since the pandemic began. I don't like to talk about the pandemic because that happened basically, we knew it was real in March of 2020 when they said we're not going to be watching basketball, right? The NCAA tournament, and I thought, oh boy, this is real. I didn't really think it was real, but when they did that, I thought, that's billions of dollars that they're just turning off. That was significant. Future projections. Escalation was expected to stabilize to the 2 to the 4% range in 23 and 24, aligning with historical averages. With that said, prices have surged 35.7% since January 2020, although 80% of these increases have occurred since January of 2021. And I pulled this data and information straight off of the internet. It's public data. It mirrors what we've seen if you look at the cost increases. 15% on average year over year, that's 30-some percent, about 30%. And I know that is how do you get there? It's gotten there very rapidly. This is a historic cost increase to all higher education in the state of Kentucky. All of the institutions went to the Commonwealth and asked for additional funds to all the projects that had been submitted and funded. And it's unfortunate, but we seek these additional funds so that we can complete this project.
Questions or comments?
So it's, we have new board members. Could you remind us what the old press box was like? What the old press box was like?
I will tell you, the old press box, that building was built in 1968. And if you never have been to the old press box, I'll be happy to give you a tour. But you got to be in good shape to get there because there's no elevator access. There's a very small bathroom that might be a little larger than that desk for access. It faces the sun. And honestly, structurally, it's not in the best condition at the top. So it is in need of repair. But the original idea to do a master plan, and Todd knows well, 2010, the athletics department paid for a athletic master plan, much like the university did for our physical assets. So they funded their own, and it was in the study. And at that time, they thought, hey, 2010, it's going to take about $6 million to add an elevator, make it ADA accessible, kind of modernize the box that we had. Fast forward, when we had our three different teams come in for interview, our design consultants, one of the teams, HSK, came in with a great idea, and they basically said, how about we bring that over to the new side, get you out of the sun, and put you in a very modern, that will actually last us for many, many, many years to come. So that's where the idea came from. It's a great idea, and we still may need to do some repairs and things to the old box just to keep it in good condition. It's being safe. We still will do some production of where the cameras are located in that area, but the people that all the reporters and the visiting team and how you get coaches up and down and to the field, we have extended the elevator on the new side so they can go from the field to the press box in their elevator and do it quickly. So it will really help the operational side of the institution.
There are broadcast teams that declined to come to our facility because of how difficult it is to actually navigate all of that. If you think about the equipment that's necessary to broadcast a game that those broadcast companies, CBS, ESPN, bring with them, it all has to be hauled up through the stadium and has been since 1968. So there are some ADA issues there. And then the last part of it is that there are expectations when you host visiting teams that they don't have to walk through your fan base to get to where they're going to do their work. It is unpleasant for them. It's a liability potentially for us with that fan-coach interaction, and so avoiding that is also something that we're pleased that we'll be able to avoid. And so, and for those of you who are unaware, during halftime games, coaching staffs from upstairs in the box go to the locker room and then go back up to the box. So it's not just once through the fans, it's in the middle of the game through the fans. And so we just want to avoid that.
It was quite amusing to watch because they were running. And also just outside the student workers from the WKU who were going up there into an unsafe environment as well. And just for clarity, this is no redesign, this is not an expansion, this is no design change at all. This is just the expansion.
We have actually had on the press box, there have been no change orders. And our first estimates we got when we got the first design were far exceeded where we are today, far exceeded, and we've actually had to scale this down and still meet the intent for the university. So I don't want you all to think that there's not been a lot of hard work that's going into to make this the right size and get it into the tightest budget that we can get. That we really have worked hard to do that, and so it truly is the impact of economic conditions that have hit everybody in the United States. It's not just us.
And I will say, this is a conversation that my president colleagues and I are having consistently. has less to do with this project, but more to do with the business school project. We explained to our legislators what was happening with the cost increases, that all of the allocations have not met the total project needs. And so they were less interested in allocating up to what the increases were. And so we're all across the Commonwealth thinking about how do you navigate through that, how do you manage through it, and how do you still deliver the project that's necessary, dealing with the short-term issue around finance, but not losing sight of you have one chance to do a project. If you do it, you have to do it for the long term. So making sure we're making those strategic choices.
Any other questions?
The previous two items were much easier. It was the Commonwealth's money, this item, and the next item, it's our money. So do we have any questions? Any other comments? Not, I'd entertain a motion that the board approves an additional $18,434,300 in agency bond authorization for the construction of the Press Box and Hilltop and Fieldhouse project. Thank you. Motion by Regent Dennison, second by Regent Nichols. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Our next project, you can look out the windows when the blinds are open or the drapes are open, and I think you're going to see an absolutely phenomenal building. On the left is a rendering that was done that the board had seen in the previous in the past, and on the right you can see a couple of weeks ago where we are. It's actually exceeded that even since that picture was taken. But the state of Kentucky, the General Assembly, in House Bill 20, it's not 22, but the General Assembly in House Bill 1 in the 22, they provided state bond funds of $74.4 million. And so this project was submitted in our six-year capital plan at that amount. And again, those early estimates of that project, it takes time to get those and you put them in. And that was our request as a state institution. So normally, those funds would have been adequate. And I know some people, they say, we talk about that. It's what's happened. And I mentioned, you know, in being in this role for 15 years, we have not exceeded our request on any project till now. And so it's unfortunate, but we knew it early. We knew what we needed to do, and so we've done some things with the building, trying to bring the building to what we would call right size, and work with the college, Evelyn, and your staff, and we got the building, which was originally back in, I think it was 2008 or 10, we did our first assessment of a new business college. And so that's where the $144,000. Well, things change. We are now right-sized a little less than 115,000 gross square feet for the building. And after the competitive bid process, the facility that we have out there today is at $99.4 million. So to address the economic issues, we had already gone back to the state of Kentucky General Assembly. We did, as an institution, request additional funds to help us with this project, and they passed and provided us $25 million in additional agency bond authorization. And so we are respectfully asking for your authority.
Brian, in that reduction of $144,000 to $115,000, any instructional space was eliminated, or what was
it? What we did to make the building more efficient was we worked with the college, and we basically extended the optimal classroom teaching opportunity. So the window may have been here, like we really want to teach between 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. I'm only using that as an example. but they expended that out so that all the components of the building were made very efficient. So just the configuration of the building, but they worked very closely with Evelyn's College, Dean Thrasher, to make that work.
Any other questions, comments?
So this and the previous project, as we've discussed this over the years, one of the discussions has been the role fundraising would play in philanthropy and in bridging this gap. And so I'm wondering if the president could address us essentially in that.
So we'll get to make a little bit of news today. Obviously, these are long-term expenditures that we're talking about. But the way in which our, and Susan will talk about this in the next item, I think it's important, in the context of us asking for additional debt capacity. In fiscal year 28, we actually will retire, 27 a little bit more, in 28 we'll retire university debt. And so when you think about what we have to do to bridge to when that debt comes down, is actually in 26 and 27, it's about $3 million per year. And so what we need to do is make sure that in those 2 years we have dollars available to reduce the additional costs. What actually happens in fiscal year 28 is we will have less debt than we do today. So we have to get to 28, and the way we're going to do that is through one-time cash. So usually you think about not growing recurring costs. This is 2 years where we have to meet those goals. And so on the College of Business building, we are at $9 million raised and pledged, with many other proposals outstanding, moving us toward $10 plus million in the coming year. So I'm excited about that work, and I want to thank philanthropy and Evelyn and all the folks who have been working on that. I'll thank myself too, as I've been walking around with my hand out. And then the second is we have an announcement that we will make later this fall around a really important gift that will help defray some of the other costs on the fieldhouse side around athletics. And Todd, that gift, the median of it, it is a complicated gift because there are incentives built into it, but it is $5 to $7 million. And so another really important investment in our institution that is going to allow us to actually make sure that when we hit 28, our debt load comes back, but we don't do anything to the budget either.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'd entertain a motion the board approve the $25 million agency bond authorization for the new Gordon Ford College of Business.
So moved.
Motion by Regent Bale, second by Regent Thomas. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Susan, I will call on you to approve the resolution. The funding authorization, issuance and sale of general receipts, obligations, and refunding obligations in the aggregate principal amount not to exceed $81,355,000.
I know this sounds like a lot of money, right? So let me run through this because about half of that may or may not come to fruition. So the first piece of that is whenever we go about issuing additional debt, we look at other opportunities within our debt structure to see if there's opportunities for refunding and actually saving money. So there's two series that are currently out there that there is a window of opportunity that we could refund those and get some additional savings to our debt service budget. That is the DSU renovations that was issued in 2012 and the Honors College, which was issued in 2013. That has outstanding principal that's included in that $88 million of $35.9 million. Now, as Gary and I discussed yesterday and the day before, that opportunity for refunding is minimal. I don't know that we can do it, but we want to have it out there because the capital markets change so quickly that if there is an opportunity, we want to be able to act quickly on that to get that out and refund that quickly.
Susan, that would be like, in layperson's terms, doing a home finance refund.
Exactly. Yes. And so, again, that's out there so that we can do it if we have to move quickly. So going to the projects that Brian just talked about, so the press box and field house is a little more complicated, so let me explain that to you. So we're seeking authorization from our board to go up to $60 million. Let me reiterate what Brian said. More than likely, this project will come in closer to the $57 million, and Brian has already built a $3 million contingency into that $57 million. So he'll have to tap into some of that, but probably not all of it. So it will probably come in actually less than the $57 million. But we need to get the authorization from our board up to $60 million. So if you remember right, I think I was probably sitting in this space back in 2022, where we first presented this project to the board. And in that resolution, there was $42 million for the press box field house and $10 million for the refunding of the DIDL bonds, which so the total resolution at that point was $52 million. So at that point, you approved us to sell bonds for $42 million, or $41.6 to be exact, as Romano keeps me, he keeps me clear, in 22. So we have the authorization from the state and from our board to sell bonds of $8.4 million, okay? So when we issue these bonds, we can only sell $8.4 million when we sell this issue. But you're giving us authorization for an additional $10 million. Now, let me explain that we can't sell the $10 million yet because we don't have state authorization. And the state authorization will come when the budget opens back up next January. So Jennifer Smith and Dr. Caboni are aware of this. They've already sent a letter into the legislature saying that we want the additional $10 million. But that we would not sell those bonds until we can in July of 25. So I just wanted to be clear about this. The board is giving us authorization, but we have another step to go through with the state of the additional $10 million with the state. So we expect that to happen. There's really probably no reason they wouldn't. But and again, we will only sell the amount that we need. On the Gordon Ford College of Business, that's authorization up to $99.4 million, as Brian talked about. This is a little cleaner in that the state has already given us authorization for the $25 million. And the state has given us 74.4, so we're just seeking approval from our board for the $25 million. And as the president did a much better job than I would have, understanding that we do have that gap in our budget for a couple of years that we need to fill, that will be filled with cash through some fundraising opportunities. So all of these are packaged into the one resolution that you received, and that's the best way of getting at the most favorable interest rate we can get. So the more money you put in there, the better interest rate you will get. And so the current plan, as we work with our financial advisor and our bond counsel, is to, for whatever reason, a lot of people will go out with bond sales right before a presidential election, thinking that a presidential election result will change something crazy in the capital markets. As Gary and I have talked about, he being a banker, capital markets do not respond that quickly to rate changes. So the financial advisor and bond counsel has advised us probably to wait till after the presidential election because there won't be as many bond opportunities on the street, and we'll probably get a more favorable rate at that time. So that's when we are looking at this point to issue. Now, whether something changes between now and then, we'll just have to wait and see. I think this graph is important for the board to see from a graphical perspective that here at Western Kentucky, we were at high point on long-term debt back in 2014 of 196. That has dropped down in 22 to a low point. It ticked back up when we issued that $42 million for the original field house and press box, and has gone down slightly. It'll tick back up a little bit for this reissue, and then you'll see where we start dropping. What Dr. Cloney talked about when we retire some of our existing debt. And again, this shows you what our annual debt service budget looks like, and you'll see that tick up of about $3 million for a couple of years, and then it drops back off in the 28 timeline.
And I want to mention,
Richard Brody asked me around the $25 million, can we just go raise that? And as much as I wish we could, we have to balance capacity to raise and then thinking about cash today versus not cash today, other ways of giving. But also a reminder to everyone that WKU has historically built buildings this way. We have not built buildings with fundraising. As a matter of fact, for example, the Honors College, that $19 million construction project, but looking back, there is not a single dollar of fundraising cash that went to the construction price. And so this continues kind of the practice that we have, the challenge that we have as an institution. We're still fully a third of our students, their first and their families, to go to college. We raise money. We raise about $20 million a year every year. It's pretty consistent. But we don't raise $100 million a year. And so I just want to kind of point that out there. This is historically how we've done this.
That's a lot of
you. Okay.
Any questions or comments before we go? Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead, please.
Could we go back one slide, I think, just or the one that had the long-term debt? That's good. Go for there.
Sorry about that, Shane.
Sorry. You'd be ready for it. I'll be in the classroom. I can't make it. We've had a lot of conversations this summer around the budget, ongoing conversations, and we did yesterday as well. And just looking at that's a $3 million increase or $2.5 million increase in the budget for next year. And we have the budget realignment strategies going this year, and we extended those into next year as well, and just taking on an additional $2.5 million. It doesn't seem like a lot, and yet every dollar matters right now on this campus. So just speaking to, again, fundraising, but how what's your thoughts on how we put that additional part?
Yeah, and I think that the news around $9 million is not all cash, but there's a great deal of cash that allows us to navigate through this. And the same thing is true with some athletic fundraising that's happening and other fundraising. But we should have the cash on hand to cover those 2 years of increases. We'll burn the cash, but we'll protect the budget, and it will also help, obviously, retire the debt. I'm just glad that we're going back down to 15, right? So that what we've talked about during the 7+ years that I've been here is being fiscally conservative, and we have made great strides at paying, retiring debt, and bringing our debt load down, and are continuing to do that even with the construction project. So conservative, as Susan knows, we're fiscally conservative in terms of debt and construction, and want to continue that progress.
Well, and those of us who have been here a long time remember those years that are on the previous slide and the deep concern that we had on this campus.
That's a lot of long-term debt before he got here. I will make that statement.
Anything else? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the resolution providing for the authorization, issuance, and sale of general receipts, obligations, and refunding bonds in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $81,355,000. Motion by Regent Dennison.
Second
by Regent Nichols. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Madam Chair, that concludes finance and budget.
Okay. Why don't we take a break, 5 minutes or so break, before we go on to student affairs.